I'm Christopher Lydon, and this is The Whole Wide World, listening to Refugee Stories with the theater director Peter Sellers. Peter Sellers has many ways of saying that theater is a magical, semi-sacred space, an imaginative place unlike a classroom or a congressional hearing, where people can say things they've never framed in words before, where audiences can hear what they've never been told but know to be true.
You know, that's what theater was invented to deal with. And to, you know, in a shamanic circle, bring the ancestor spirits back and ask them to hold our hand and take us through some dangerous territory.
I watched the transformation of Niazi on stage as a case in point. Niazi is a burly teenager from Albanian Kosovo. 3 years in this country, he's got American language down and a carefree American style until the moment when Peter Sellers asked him to tell his story to a spellbound theater.
Well, those times, everybody, even as a grown men, were terrified and scared. And my dad was trying to tell me that there is nothing wrong. I was trying to explain that to my little brother, telling him that it was all right. But even inside me, I was scared myself. I was trying to tell him that, you know, just, you know, a bunch of fireworks and, you know, the gunshots, I would tell him everything will be all right. But I was trying to keep it inside, the pain that I felt. And you know, I'm the oldest in my family, you know, and for me to start crying, you know, it was hard for me. And I kept it inside, all the pain and all the... I still have these horrible traumas that I saw before. One of the most shocking images I saw, I was with my younger brother holding him, and there was another pregnant woman, which I'm not sure in which month was she, but I saw that they took a knife and took the baby out of her stomach. And every night when I go to bed, right before I fall asleep, this image comes up and wakes me up. It happens every night, and I just can't seem to get over that image. And there are other things that happen, but this image, when I saw the woman bleeding, and it was the most horrible thing that I ever saw in my life.
Let's talk about Niazi. I mean, here's a 15-year-old kid from Kosovo, son of a policeman, relocated to Lynn, Massachusetts. He's a football star. He talks the lingo. He's picked up everything about this country, glad-hander, wants to go to Harvard or Yale, be a politician or something, and suddenly his moment to testify, to come out of the crowd of the children of Heracles and to talk about himself, and he was a new person, and he went to places this morning I'm not sure he'd ever been even by himself. That's what I want you to unfold.
He hasn't been there before. He's arriving there now. That's what we've just spent the last hour crying together and holding each other and, you know, the kind of tears that are cleansing, liberating, and tears of joy. You know, the one thing that's really important for me is, you know, just understanding the different kinds of tears. There are some tears that are just tears of me, the victim, selfish tears, tears that permit me to stay where I am and my inertia and tell everyone stay away from me. Tears of self-pity. Then there are tears of repentance, tears where you actually see so clearly through your life what you did that you shouldn't have done. And those tears are about deciding never to do it again and changing your life. And then there are the tears that are evoked in The Children of Heracles by Euripides, which is you weep when people do the right thing, something so beautiful, something so generous, something that we're all starved for, something we've all been waiting forever to see one person do one right thing in public, something that took courage, something that gives us courage, something where you watch somebody face down their own worst demon and rise above it and through it. This young man who is a football player, his dad is a cop. He's from a family of leaders, of strong men, of people who have no fear. To watch him break down and confess to what he's afraid of was so empowering for everyone in the room. Because the strong man is the person who can confess his weakness. And that is the strength that breaks the cycle of violence. That's the strength where you just do not do unto others what they did unto you. Where you have the courage to say, I was really hurt. And therefore, I'm going to commit to not hurting anybody ever again, even in revenge.
In Sellers speak, this is where theater resembles therapy. Theater becomes an open 12-step detox center for democracy.
Do we understand that hurt? Do we understand the grace of that hurt? Do we understand the empowerment of that wound? Do we understand how much light comes from this area of darkness? You know, in this production, we've had testimony from people who have lived through so many atrocities. And when they come to America, they can really say, please, don't do that, don't do that, and don't do that. We have survived in order to tell you. Many of the friends we grew up with are no longer alive. Of the people in my neighborhood, I'm one of two or three to have survived to now tell you the tale and ask you, please don't do this. When our Bosnian refugees here come to America and say, the killings began exactly when people started saying, let's round up all the Muslims. When you understand that what John Ashcroft is doing is seen by somebody from one of these parts of the world as the beginning of a fresh killing cycle, when you understand the social violence of America's responses to its problems, when you begin to look through eyes that have suffered, so you're alert to pain, you're alert to injustice, you're alert to unfairness, you're alert to the consequences of not living well, that it doesn't turn out well in the end, that every small slip ultimately has terrifying consequences.
For me and for all of us media-saturated news consumers, Peter Sellers kept saying that we need other ways to listen, and not just to refugee stories.
One of the biggest tasks is actually learning how to listen to a West African and just realize the way a West African is going to tell you a story is going to be really different from Jim Lehrer or Ted Koppel. And you're going to have to listen differently. And that act of listening differently is going to actually be one of the most important things you do in your life. This question of the refugees first having to take you a bit on their path of deprivation. You know, everything that didn't go according to plan and everything that you'd rather skip over in the story. But it's actually what gives the story its overwhelming force and moral weight is how hard it was to get there and how amazing it is that they've arrived here. And once they've arrived, what they are now empowered to see, they have been chosen. And you're aware that we are in the presence not just of master storytellers, but of the seers, of the prophets, of the consciences that are going to inform the next generation of this nation of immigrants and renew the promise of this country.
Night after night, I sat on Peter Sellers' stage as the host of Spontaneous Testimonies from Refugees with messages for us in America today. Here is one of them.
I have to first say is I'm Serbian, married to a Bosnian Muslim. And the way I viewed this conflict and what I base other conflicts, past and present, to, is that refugees, ethnic cleansing, and wars come from power and money. And what we need to start doing and what the Greeks have written about. And what we still try to analyze is how to better ourselves as human beings. And when I look at the Bosnian situation, you have to excuse me, you had leaders who were fearful that they were going to lose power. And in losing power, they would lose land. So what they started to do was inject into their societies past hatreds. They did not only inject them into the what we would call in Bosnia the peasant classes, the narod, the people, but they injected them into the well-educated who held still stories in their heads from their great-grandfathers. And as we learned through Dostoevsky in Brothers Karamazov, we know it is the intelligentsia that make the reasons for the war, but it is the narod, it is the people who are illiterate, the people who work the soil, who do the actual killing, the people who follow their leaders blindly into battle because, not because of the land underneath them, not because of the money. They don't want to kill for the dinar or the dollar, but they want to kill because it is better to kill them first before they kill us. So how do we raise a society of people that differentiate between power and self-worth?
When we come back, from Euripides to 9/11, Peter Sellers talks about kinship, globalization, and his optimism. You're listening to The Whole Wide World from PRI Public Radio International.